Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, health-related show for you today. We're going to begin by talking with you about what's new in the area of bone marrow transplantation. Doctors use bone marrow transplants to treat many diseases. Now it's being tested to help prevent them. And our guest today, Dr. Mark Juckett, with us by phone. He's director of the Hematology Bone Marrow Transplant Clinical Research Program, interim director of the Bone Marrow Transplant Program at the UW-Carbone Cancer Center, also a faculty member in the Division of Hematology Oncology within the Department of Medicine at UW-Madison. Great to have him with us. We'll talk with him about bone marrow transplants, how the procedure works, what it's used for, and certainly inviting your questions or maybe your experiences. I hope you'll join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Mark Juckett, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Happy to join you today, Larry.
Stem cell transplants, bone marrow transplants, same thing, right? Or is it not?
That's right. No, that's a great question. The stem cell transplants, you know, stem cells can come from all kinds of different tissues. But in our field, we use those terms really to distinguish two ways that we might collect the same group of cells. In one way, we can give somebody a stimulant for these cells to float in the blood, in which case we can collect them from the blood. And we tend to refer to that collection as a stem cell product, whereas we can, the other way is to simply take somebody to the operating room and numb up an area over their hip bone and then put a needle in that bone where we can remove some bone marrow that has the stem cells in it directly. And so when it's collected that way, we tend to call it a bone marrow transplant. But ultimately, we're collecting the same cells, just using two methods.
And so what does the stem cell do for in our bodies?
Oh, these are incredibly important. We have stem cells really in all of our organs that help us live long lives by producing new cells to help replenish that organ. And in particular, in the bone marrow, this tends to be an organ that needs to create lots and lots of new blood cells every day. And so you can think of the stem cell, say, as a seed cell that gives rise to the rest of the bone marrow, or even sometimes people think of it like a mother cell that gives rise to progeny that can grow up into normal white cells, red cells, and little things called platelets that plug up holes in our blood vessels and keep us from bleeding. So when in our field, when we talk about a bone marrow or blood stem cell transplant, we're talking about taking these very special cells from the bone marrow from one person and then either freezing them and giving them back to that same person or transferring them to another individual.
I had such an operation on my hand where I had a tumor in my little finger, and the bone marrow from someone who had passed on was transferred to my finger after that removal of from my finger, and I'm eternally grateful for that.
And there's an example of the potential for these kinds of cells can help really create new tissues. What you describe is not something that we tend to do in our practice, but it's the same principle of transferring these cells that have this potential to for wound healing and all kinds of other possibilities. In our field, we're really using the bone marrow to recreate a healthy bone marrow, and somebody say that does not have a healthy bone marrow. The other part of it is that the really the roots of a new immune system come from the bone marrow, and so when we give somebody a new bone marrow transplant, we also give them really the basis of a new immune system that has its origins from the other person.
That's just amazing to me. How did this all come about?
Well, you know, there's wonderful work that was done by a lot of investigators. The person that's most recognized is Dr. Don Thomas, who began doing work in Seattle many years ago, initially in dogs, and there was also seminal work done at University of Wisconsin in this area, specifically to help treat children with immunodeficiency. And over many years and a lot of just phenomenal work, people have learned that these stem cells, not only can they repair a damaged immune system, but they can repair a damaged bone marrow. And more importantly, the way these cells are, or the way these treatments are used now, is to treat people that have various kinds of blood cancers. Currently, most transplants that are done to treat people that have a type of blood cancer. So something like acute leukemia or multiple myeloma. These are the two most common reasons that somebody may undergo one of these procedures now.
What's the experience of the patient who is getting this material?
Oh, that's a great question. This is a difficult treatment. And so when I talk to patients about this, I say, you know, the perfect treatment is one that works every time, doesn't hurt, and is free. And we've got a long way to go before we achieve that type of treatment. This is something that requires somebody to be very healthy, fit. They need to have good organ function. But then also, of course, they will have some disease that we need to treat. And what the basis of the basics of the treatment are that somebody comes in for aggressive chemotherapy, sometimes radiation therapy as well, with a goal of attempting to eradicate as much of the disease, as much of the cancer that is possible, but also lowering their immune system so that we can then introduce this new bone marrow and immune system in their body to take hold. And so this treatment that's given up front in of itself is a very difficult thing to go through. But in addition, patients receive these new cells that now need to regrow in their body, and they also have to regrow a new immune system to help fight infection. So there's a period of time, usually about the initial month, where patients often spend in the hospital, although more and more we can do this, at least parts of it, in the outpatient world. And then after that first month, there begins to be some recovery, but there's a lot of intense medical care for at least 3 months. And then with any luck, everything is improving, patients are healing, and the need for ongoing care gets less and less.
Is the obviously the success rate has been reasonable enough that we want to keep doing it?
The success of this treatment has improved remarkably over the decades, and the reason for these improvements have come in a variety of different ways. One of the more important aspects that has improved outcome is, you know, we all carry a certain, what we call a tissue type, and you inherit half the tissue type from your mom and half from your dad. And so our ability to really hone down on the details of that tissue typing let us choose much, much better matched donors than we used to be. You know, many of us have brothers and sisters who may match, but most of us don't. And so when we look at collecting cells from a donor, often we are resorting to the National Marrow Donor Program that maintains an enormous list of volunteers who are willing to donate. And our ability to really type very carefully a volunteer to know that they're matched to our patient really has improved outcome.
Wow. How many people are on that list?
Last number I heard was about 16 million.
Wow.
And, you know, this National Marrow Donor Program interfaces with the European Union and many countries around the globe who have established registries in their own country. And so we've had transplants that come from Europe and transplants from Asia and transplants from South America and Africa. It's really all over the world at this point that there are donors willing to donate some of their cells for patients in need.
And just for for the donors themselves, is this a really painful process?
You know, it's not. You'll meet many people. In fact, maybe a caller might be a donor. I've been a donor. Many people around here have been donors. What it requires is, first of all, going through an evaluation to demonstrate that somebody is healthy and that they have normal blood counts and an immune system, and that's a pretty straightforward approach, not a lot different than what it's like to donate blood. The actual donation procedure can either look one of two ways. One way is to receive 5 days of a hormone that stimulates the bone marrow to grow, in which case we can then collect the cells using a process called apheresis, which is really just basically a bowl where the blood comes out of one IV and gets spun around and goes back in the other arm. And when the blood is spinning, we can see where the stem cells line up and simply remove them out, suck them out. So that's one approach, and the whole thing takes about 5-6 days and has very little risk associated with it. There's some discomfort with an IV and some discomfort. The bones may ache. The other approach is to simply show up one morning, and there's a minor surgical procedure where somebody can lay down on their stomach. Usually they're mildly sedated, and some numbing medicine is given around their hip bone, a little bit above their behind. And we can use a special kind of needle to put down into the bone and simply suck the stem cells out directly. And that's something that there's some discomfort when people wake up, but it's usually resolved by the end of the week. And it's rare that there have been any significant complications from these problems, from these donations.
Dr. Mark Juckett, our guest today, faculty member in the Division of Hematology Oncology within the Department of Medicine at the University of Wisconsin. Great to have him with us today as we talk bone marrow transplants, and we just talk a little about donors as well. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments or maybe your experience to share. Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Nigel O'Shea, our engineer today, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at bone marrow transplants today on the show, Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dr. Mark Juckett. Really great to have him with us. He directs and is a faculty member in the Division of Hematology Oncology within the Department of Medicine at the UW-Madison. It's great to have him along. And certainly looking forward to hearing your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Juckett, we have Jack from Madison with something for us. Let's go there. Jack, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes. I am a transplant recipient. February of 17, I had a stem cell transplant because I have multiple myeloma. And right now it is in remission. The transplant itself wasn't bad, but what happens afterwards was, it was pretty bad. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks, very uncomfortable. But I'm in remission, so all that was worth it.
Yeah, I bet. Comment, Dr. Juckett?
I'm glad to hear it worked, and you're in remission. That's wonderful. I will say that for multiple myeloma, the efficacy of the treatment is primarily from the chemotherapy that's given before the transplant. And in this particular situation, we usually use someone's own bone marrow cells because the chemotherapy, something called melphalan, is a great medicine to treat myeloma, but turns out to be very toxic to the bone marrow. And so in this particular setting, the strategy is to collect the cells from the patient, which we can then put in the freezer. Then we can give the chemotherapy. And then once the chemotherapy is out of somebody's body, we can go back to the freezer take those cells and give them back to the patient. So this is simply a way of essentially taking the organ out and protecting it while the treatment is given and then putting the organ back. And so the chemotherapy effects can be pretty terrific. And Jack alluded to, patients can be very sick and have a lot of side effects from that treatment. And usually it's about 3 to 4 weeks. When the counts are very low, people may need transfusions. Sometimes they may get fevers and infection. We often will have them in the hospital during this time. And it's not until the blood counts begin to come back then that we begin to see people heal up. And then usually it's a few days and people are ready to go back home and continue their recovery at home.
Oh. Jack, thanks so much for calling. I really appreciate it. Orville in Madison also has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Orville.
Hi, Larry. Thank you very much. I just wanted to call in to thank the department for good advice. Several years ago, my niece had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she's in New York, and I called the department and got information to direct her to a center in New York. And she got radiation and chemotherapy, and she couldn't get better. And then they took bone marrow cells from her and grew them and injected them back into her. And she's been well for over 6 years now.
Oh.
That's wonderful to hear.
That is great. Thank you so much for calling. And that work sounds like the University of Wisconsin helped you out a lot there, Orville.
Yeah, yeah, Department of Hematology, that department that Dr. Jacket is in, they helped me out.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Orville. I appreciate it. Joe in Dodgeville, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Larry. Thanks. I've had a kidney transplant due to lupus, and I'm wondering, as a first question, whether the stem cells from my donor would help alleviate the need for anti-rejection meds. And as a second question, my 19-year-old son was just diagnosed with lupus, and I wonder if possible transplant, bone marrow transplant, would help him as well.
Joe, thank you so much. What do you think, Dr. Jacket?
Boy, that's a fantastic question, because there's something that's very interesting here that is being studied here at University of Wisconsin. And what it is, you might remember earlier, and I'll restate it, the bone marrow contains the roots of a new immune system from the donor. And so we know that if we transplant bone marrow from one person to another, they'll recreate an immune system that comes from the donor. And in that setting, then, if we were to transplant a kidney from the same donor, that kidney could be transplanted without the need for anti-rejection medicine, because the immune system and the kidney both would be coming from the donor, and there would not be a rejection problem. So our kidney transplant program here is studying an approach of using combined bone marrow and kidney transplantation to get around the issue of needing to give people anti-rejection medicine for a long period of time. This is a fascinating area. I know there's a long way to go to really get those techniques perfected, but there are active studies going on now to try to provide that type of a transplant.
Joe, thank you very much. Any other comment, Joe?
I was just curious about the potential help for the lupus in my son.
Oh, okay. Yes.
In terms of doing transplant for lupus itself, this also has been looked at. And what's been difficult is the way the transplants have been looked at. They've taken somebody with lupus. They've taken their own bone marrow and immune system in a collection. They've then purified the stem cells from the immune system so that they then could give the patient a very rigorous regimen to try to eliminate all the immune system they can. They give them back their own stem cells to try to reboot, if you will, their own immune system. And while there have been temporary improvements, the improvements have not persisted. Now, there are other autoimmune. So lupus is a form of what's called an autoimmune system disease. There are other forms. The one that is immediately apparent is something called scleroderma, where the same approach is being used. And in fact, we've just recently begun using that this bone marrow transplant approach in that patient group. So there are studies going on in lupus. The results have not been as lasting as we would hope for.
Joe, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to give Kim in East Troy a chance to visit. Hi, Kim.
Hi. I just wanted to share a little bit of my story. I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma in May of 2015. And I went through all the regular chemotherapy, then did an auto stem cell transplant, which were my own stem cells.
Yep.
And then 4 months later, I did an allo, which is, of course, from a donor. I had a very generous donor, a 25-year-old male from Munich, Germany, actually. And they flew his stem cells here. I had both of those transplants, and they were both very difficult, but I would do it in a heartbeat. I have no medication, no maintenance chemo or anything, and I am cancer-free.
Wow. Dr. Juckett?
That's a wonderful story. Let me just explain a difference that she teased out. So an autologous transplant is collecting someone's own cells, and in that setting, the strategy is really about giving the chemotherapy, whereas with an allogeneic transplant, that's when we use a donor. And there the strategy is very different. What we hope is that by giving people a new immune system from a donor, that new immune system will recognize the residual disease, the residual myeloma in her case, and then mount an immune response against it, essentially reject the disease. And this has been effective in multiple myeloma, and there continue to be studies to try to sort out the best approach to do this. This is something that's done routinely for people that have acute leukemia, but it's something that has carried a significant risk when used in people that have myeloma. So the best approach right now, there are a variety of clinical trials where we're investigating new approaches that will hopefully make this more effective and safer in patients that have myeloma.
Kim, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, with your questions on Open Line. Get you on pretty quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Mary from Hayward emailed to ask if you would discuss stem cell clinics that offer treatment for arthritic knees, bad hips and backs. She knows they're self-funded, but she has several acquaintances who have found some success with these treatments. Could these be the future of repair?
Well, this is a great question. We hope that there are stem cell products that may help with healing in the future. Now, the worry that is happening today is that there is a large profit motive behind many of these clinics, meaning that the goal is not necessarily to study or learn the best approach to do this, but the goal is to simply make a lot of money. And so there, in the last year, for example, the FDA has become much more involved in asserting control and regulation over how these clinics have developed. And what's been unfortunate is there are many clinics that have been created in which unproven stem cell products are being used to treat a wide variety of diseases. And so those, from my point of view, I feel like that is maybe not ethical, because when we provide a treatment to somebody, we need to have a good idea of what the safety is and really what the efficacy is. And many of these clinics that have opened up have not developed a product that has met basic studies that demonstrate safety and efficacy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a lot of very interesting science that's going on, including many clinical trials that are being done in well-designed, prospective clinical trials where the results are transparent and will be released and will be scrutinized by other people in the field. And those are the kind of trials, those are the kind of therapies and patient involvement that we need to really learn what these treatments have to offer and how to do them the best. And so my advice to anybody that's considering visiting a stem cell clinic is to look for one that has some sort of connection with a federal agency that is providing oversight, mm-hmm. or some sort of a university that's providing institutional review board approval, studies that really have been vetted and designed by scientists so that we can both provide the best care but also learn from the treatment that's being given.
We have Mike from Madison emailing that his daughter, now 45, is a leukemia survivor. She had a BMT about 20 years ago at UW Hospital, thanks to an anonymous donor. How has the process or course of treatment for leukemia changed or improved in the last 20 years?
Oh, that's a great question. So the treatment for leukemia has improved in a couple ways. One of the first improvements has been we can much better define leukemias that we can cure with chemotherapy than leukemias that we're pretty sure we cannot cure with chemotherapy. And that's very important because some patients may not need to go through a transplantation to be cured. The next part of the improvement is that we do have many new medications that were not available 20 years ago that can help us be much more confident in getting people into a remission, which is required for a transplant to work. And so what remission means is that the leukemia is, there's really just, you can't detect it using the usual techniques. And in that setting, we then can do the transplant and have a much higher likelihood of cure. The last improvement has been our ability to do bone marrow transplantation in a much safer, more effective manner has definitely evolved over the last 20 years. Our chemotherapy is safer, the treatment that we use to prevent rejection problems is safer, and the outcome has steadily improved over that period of time.
Wonderful news there. Monica in Menominee, Michigan, thank you for calling.
Hi. I wondered, I'm sorry if I missed this part, but I wondered if you can freeze stem cells for future use.
We sure can. So stem cells themselves are very hardy cells that we can collect, and we know quite well how to freeze them in a way that we can keep them in a liquid nitrogen freezer 10, maybe even 20 years. It's rare that we tend to use them beyond 10 years, but it's certainly been done, and these cells will thaw and be ready to go. So that's something that's been sorted out quite well.
Oh, interesting. Thank you, Monica. Corey in Minneapolis, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Corey.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a question. I donated bone marrow about 5 years ago, and they never told me the results of that, and I was just wondering how you I've been re-upping with Be the Match every time I've moved in the area, and I was wondering if there's something you can do or there's a different place you can go to get involved.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful that you were a donor, and it's such an important service for other people. The National Marrow Donor Program, or the Be the Match, does provide the service, but they also are under some obligation to create confidentiality and some distance between the donor and the recipient. And this is due to quite a variety of reasons, including patients who may have certain thoughts about their own health information and releasing that. Also, some worries about donors feeling obligated in certain ways or somehow connected in maybe ways they would prefer not to be. And so what my advice would be is to simply contact the National Marrow Donor Program and talk things over with them. There are many patients that do want to reach out to their donors and aren't sure how to do that. And the National Marrow Donor Program does facilitate that connection when it's of both parties' interest. And they do a wonderful job. We're really very lucky to have that organization.
There you go, Corey. Thank you so much. We have Wendy in Green Bay next. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I have scleroderma, and I am wondering if you've had anybody with long-term scleroderma receive a transplant and be successful.
Sure. So scleroderma is an interesting disease that in which the immune system affects different parts of the body and can cause lung disease and kidney disease and skin disease. And it tends to come in different varieties. And so there's a variety where the scleroderma comes on and progresses very quickly over a short period of time. And in that particular group of people, there is now a technique of doing a bone marrow transplant where there's a very heavy treatment given to reduce the immune system, and then the cells are collected and the immune system is the cells are purified from the immune system and given back. That type of transplantation can potentially halt the progression of scleroderma. But it seems to be most appropriate to people that have this rapidly progressive scleroderma and may not be appropriate for people that have the more lingering kind of scleroderma that lasts over a long period of time. And the reason for that seems to be that many of those patients, that the disease will tend to wane over time, and so the risk associated with the transplant itself may not be warranted. So if you have scleroderma and you're interested, it's something worth talking to your rheumatologist about. And, of course, we have a program here to provide that type of service, and we have a rheumatologist and a pulmonologist that get involved with discussing the pros and cons of this type of treatment with patients.
Wendy, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. I want to give Peggy in Middleton a chance to join in. Hi, Peggy.
Hello. I want to say that I was a patient of Dr. Juckett's until just recently when I was dismissed, but my stem cell transplant was an autologous one 20 years ago now for a more rare disease, primary amyloidosis. So it was a difficult process with kidneys involved. But I'm very healthy right now, and after 20 years, I'm more than grateful for the work at the UW Hospital and Mark Juckett and other doctors there.
Peggy, it's good to hear from you. I'm glad things are going well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, those kinds of things probably help make your day a little bit, Dr. Juckett.
It sure does. That's what we live for.
There's a trial going on at UW with a vaccine to prevent lymphoma. Tell us about that.
Yes. Yeah, so the disease it's actually oriented to is a type of acute leukemia. And I'll describe it briefly. There's a wonderful physician scientist up in Boston named David Avigan who had developed a technique where he could combine a leukemia cell or a myeloma cell, he's looked at these two diseases, with a certain kind of immune cell called a dendritic cell. Now, a dendritic cell is sort of an immune cell that performs auditing in your body and shows your immune system sort of what's going on around the body. And so by joining a leukemia cell with a dendritic cell, this is a way of then allowing that dendritic cell to show the immune system what's going on inside that leukemia cell. And by doing so, it can stimulate immune cells that can fight the leukemia. So we've been very fortunate in that Dr. Avigan has asked us to join his trial, and they provided the training and the support so that our own stem cell lab can create this vaccine. And we have a trial that is opening for patients who have acute leukemia, who then will be treated with chemotherapy. Once they're in remission, we would then create these vaccines and use the vaccine to help maintain that remission. We're very excited about this trial because it really offers the possibility of getting this immune system involved in keeping the disease away, but possibly without needing a whole transplant. Maybe this is simply going to be a way of getting the immune response without having to go through all the other therapy that's required for a bone marrow transplantation.
Wow. What other kinds of stem cell therapies do you see maybe being available in the near future to patients?
So the other approach that is really growing quickly that is a related treatment is something called chimeric antigen receptor T-cell therapy. And so just to back up for a little bit, the T-cells are the immune cells that we think can attack cancer. And so this is a way of taking somebody's own immune cells and then modifying those immune cells by inserting a gene that allows these immune cells to see the cancer better. And then once those cells are modified, we can then give them back to the patient, let those immune cells wake up, grow, and attack the cancer. And this has been done with remarkable success, in particular for acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and now a type of lymphoma, a B-cell lymphoma, diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. There are therapies like this coming and are under intense study for multiple myeloma and many other diseases. And so this is extremely exciting because this offers a way of taking somebody's own immune system and, let's say, jazzing it up in a way that really allows it to attack and see the disease itself without having to go through the whole transplantation. So we're very excited about the CAR T-cell opportunities that are coming down the road.
Oh, that's just marvelous work that you are doing. Is there a place where people can go to learn more about some of this work?
There is. There are a number of sites. So our own website at UW Health has pages that will describe our program. If you're interested in general about transplantation, the best website is the Be the Match website that has just fantastic patient and donor-oriented information about bone marrow transplantation. And also put a plug in for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society that also has a fantastic patient-oriented website with lots of education about what these treatments look like, what patients need to know, and what donors need to know.
Dr. Juckett, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I hope we have a chance to talk again. Would you like to be on the show again, or would you?
I'd be happy to. This is what we love to do. We love interfacing with patients and people and anybody else that's interested. So I'd love to come back.
Thank you very much. Dr. Mark Juckett, our guest today, faculty member in the Division of Hematology Oncology within the Department of Medicine. He's vice chair for clinical affairs and quality for the Department of Medicine. He's also the director of hematology bone marrow transplant clinical research, that program, and the interim director of the bone marrow transplant program at the UW Carbone Cancer Center. Amazing work that he and others are doing in this area, and it's kind of inspiring to hear what's going on and the successes that they've had. And we'll have him back and talk with him again. But we're going to turn our attention to autism in adults next. There's a lot of work going on in that area as well. And a couple of guests for you next. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network.